comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here with me this evening. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it is the show where you matter. K-Files, if you're not receiving our free weekly newsletter, you need to subscribe to it. It's called the K-Files. And just go to my website. You'll see the link that says K-Files. You ought to be getting it every week. Then you will not have to be one of those who are in the dark. Have you considered giving yourself a Christmas present this year? Now, I know some people think, well, you know, I don't give myself a Christmas present. But, you know, it's okay to do that. And how about one that won't cost you much? And you get a whole lot of value for it. This week, as a Christmas present from our members area, you are able to watch our show live, and you could be watching it live every night all year and get all the other goodies that go with that for 23 cents a day just by joining our members area. Great Christmas present, won't cost you a lot of money, and it's a gift you can give yourself and enjoy every day for the coming year. And you get a whole lot for your money. 23 cents a day, think about that. Take that down to the store, any store, I don't care what store, and walk in with 23 cents and just say, okay, what can I get for this? They will give you directions to the door, to the exit, but that's it. So it's absolutely one of the greatest values around. I recommend it. You get all kinds of stuff in the members area. And, you know, you get to watch the show live. You get to watch the show, the latest show that we've done. In case you miss a live show, you can catch it later. You get the forums. You get the library of free ebooks for you to download. You get the video galaxy, all kinds of stuff. Plus, you get your own profile page, friends page, blog. It's all there for 23 cents a day. You get to be a part of the members area family. And we're sharing with you a part of that this week with the free TV feed at KevinSmithShow.com. Well, the FCC has done it. They have assumed control over the Internet, claiming jurisdiction where a federal court already has ruled they don't have any authority. Now, if this is allowed to stand, we'll look back on this day in the future. We'll look back on this as the day that the free flow of information on the Internet began to end. It's the beginning of the end, if it's allowed to stand. And that's the way it is in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall see what we shall see about that. We are going to be talking about Washington, D.C. tonight. We are not going to be talking about politics in any way, shape, or form, but we are going to be talking about Washington, D.C. And we're going to be talking about the fact that it has become truly one of the UFO hotspots on the planet. We'll be back right after this.
Come on.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is someone who's been with us before, and I think you're probably very familiar with Robert Stanley. He has published, and I have in my possession, a very excellent book about UFOs over Washington, D.C., and I believe you have another book out now. Is that correct, or am I incorrect on that, Robert?
I'm working on it even as we speak. I've been really trying to get this next one together. Taking almost 6 years to get the second one completed. So hopefully early next year.
All right. By the way, welcome back. We're delighted to have you back.
Thanks, Kevin.
Now, Robert, you sent me an excerpt from this new book. Mm-hmm. This has, you know, the first book was just fantastic.
Thank you.
Very detailed and lots and lots of reports and details about those reports. But those were pretty much reports of UFOs over Washington, D.C., in years past, and you've got lots of current reports in this excerpt you sent me from, for instance, 2010.
Yep.
You also stated in your email to me that this has been a banner year for UFOs over Washington, D.C. What do you mean by that?
Well, with this particular book, I ended up doing a statistical chart, a bar chart, and I'm looking at it now, and this current decade that we're just closing out had over 300 UFO sightings in Washington, D.C. That's a record. The closest thing historically to that would have been the whole decade of the 1950s, and that was only 200 and something. So, in fact, when I break it down even further, this year, 2010, had over 60 reports. A lot of them included photographs or video. So it's really unbelievable, Kevin. I'm not sure what's going on, but when you look at the data, it seems to be growing every year since the end of the 1980s.
All right, so it's not so much a banner year as it is a banner decade.
Yeah, but 2010 was the best of all the years so far in this decade.
Oh, well, okay, so it's a banner year, too.
Yes, it is.
Now, I found in this excerpt something very, very interesting, and it's something that I had read on the Internet from Victor Martinez. I found it very interesting to read it again, and also that you included it in your book.
Yeah.
And I want us to talk about that story, but something happened just before that, before that report hit the Internet. There was a sighting, I'm looking for his name here.
Mr. Allen.
Mr. Allen took some photos of the incident. Tell us about that one. And according to what you sent me, that happened March the 10th, 2010.
Correct. Yes, and it was around 6 o'clock in the afternoon or evening, early evening. And he was talking to a group of Washington D.C. police officers. They were near Georgetown University, in Georgetown, obviously, and which is a part of Washington D.C. They were talking, he was just making small talk with them, and they stopped talking and were looking up in the sky. So Mr. Allen turned and looked, and he saw this dark object that was moving very slowly over the rooftops against the wind. He didn't know what to make of it, but he did have his camera with him, so he took, and he has a motor drive on that particular Nikon D700, so he took, I think he said, over 1,000 different shots in sequence. And that's why I created a compilation of some of the, just to give you an idea of the way this thing is morphing it or is shape-shifting. It's clearly, at first we thought it might be a bunch of balloons, but it can't be. It's intelligently changing its shape, and it was moving against the wind. Apparently, it stopped at one point. And after the thing had left, Mr. Allen looked in the LCD viewfinder of the camera and enlarged the image of the object, and he showed it to the officers, and none of them wanted to make any comment or speculation on what it was that they'd just seen or had actually been photographed, flying over the city there.
All right. Now, he took these photographs in high definition, right?
Yeah, that camera takes 1080i, I believe. Yes, it's high definition.
All right, so they're very, very clear photographs, I would assume.
Yeah, he wasn't using a telephoto lens. He actually had what they call a fast lens on there for low light. So, mm-hmm. But because the resolution's so high with those things, you can actually zoom in on them, and it's still fairly clear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've done, and that's, like I said, I chopped them up a bunch just to give you sort of like a storyboard,
uh-huh.
give you an idea of how the thing was changing. We later found that on the internet that other people have taken video of the same type of object in Turkey and in Mexico, and I imagine that they've been seen in a lot of other places, but most people don't know what to make of it. I didn't know what to make of it, other than I knew that it wasn't a craft.
Mm-hmm.
It did not look like a craft that I've ever seen. It looked more like something that was alive.
All right. Now, are these photographs posted where people can take a look at them?
Yes. Unicusmagazine.com. Click on the photographs section. It's very clearly marked there, the Washington, D.C. Photo Archive. I've got, at this point, I have the world's largest civilian DC UFO database for videos, movies, and still photographs. And you know, Kevin, I got to mention something. I really don't like to badmouth people, but there's something wrong with the folks at MUFON. This year they have posted, I believe, two pictures of birds in over Washington DC, and then are claiming that these are UFOs or just posting them on their website as though they are UFOs, and they're not. They're clearly one's a pigeon, the other's a seagull, and I don't understand. I try contacting them, and they don't respond. Other people pick up those pictures off the MUFON site, and then they start spreading it around the internet, and it's, to some degree, it's disinformation. Either that or just pure ignorance. I'm not sure which.
Well, that's disconcerting.
It is, because, you know, whoever, MUFON, is they're not following their own charter of trying to figure out why the aliens are here by putting out pictures of birds. I mean, that it's look, for somebody like me that spent 6 years on this investigation, it's just a little just disturbing to see that, because I'm thinking, for somebody who doesn't know anything, they're gonna, in other words, it just discredits the field somewhat. I mean, what I've gathered, I think you cannot dispute. If you really look at the data, and even though I really thought the first book was groundbreaking, the second book is light years ahead of the first book. I threw together basically in a hurry because the data was coming in so fast and furious. It was sort of like a mountain of stuff falling on my head, and I'm trying to put it together and make sense of it. Well, now that I've had 6 years to really digest the data, and it turned out to be, well, as you know, in the first book, there's over 200 cases that I put in there.
Yeah.
This one has got over 800, well, closer to 900 cases specifically related to Washington, D.C. And a lot of that does come with some validation, either photographs or radar operators or even presidents or senators, people, credible people.
All right, now you said you've been working on this book now for about 6 years, but you've actually been doing this work of UFO research and investigation for over 30 years, right?
Yes, I have, but and it's obvious that these things are seen all over the world. But until I met Mr. Allen, I had no idea. I mean, I was interested in verifying his story or not.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to, first of all, authenticate the photographs that he took on July 16th, 2002, because that, to me, seemed pretty unbelievable that that UFOs would have landed on the Capitol. I mean, I didn't hear about it till 3 years later, and I was confused as to if it was real, how come I hadn't heard anything at all?
And for the audience, let me state that who we're talking about, this Mr. Allen, is Will Allen. He's a former ABC News engineer.
Right.
And that's who shot these photographs. All right. Now, shortly after he shot, in fact, in the same month, after he shot these photographs, in high definition of a shape-shifting something flying over Washington, D.C., and he's standing there with Washington, D.C. police, Capitol Police.
No. These are just D.C. police.
D.C. police, okay. So they're the metropolitan group. They're the city group. All right, so he's standing there with the D.C. police. They see it. He sees it. He photographs it. And then shortly after that, the story comes out on the Internet. The source of the story, at least as far as I know, because that's who I received it from, is a guy named Victor Martinez. Now, this story has a lot of details in it, and it's absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, if this thing is not true, it would still make a great movie. But if it is true, it's absolutely mind-blowing. So let's go to March 2010 and the story that Victor Martinez published on the Internet.
Well, he's claiming that he has intelligence connections with, retired and active intelligence operatives. Well, I think one of them is Richard Doty, which he has a very checkered past with as far as misinformation, but I talked to Victor on the phone. I said, look, I want to publish this in my book. Can we talk about it? So we discussed it. He wouldn't give out all the names, but he said to me, as far as he knows, these people were not pulling his leg. And I said, well, you know, I've got a picture of something that looks exactly like what you're describing, in, you know, of a person supposedly in D.C. or an entity, shape-shifting entity. I said, what do your sources say about that? And he says, so far they said nothing. So I haven't got any feedback from him about the photograph that seems to corroborate, you know, this intelligence leak. But I do think it has some sort of it reminds me of other people's stories of shape-shifting aliens. So, I know David Icke is big on this. He claims reptilians can do it. Maybe it's a technology. Maybe it's an advanced form of DNA. I really don't know. But it seems possible to me that something like that could happen.
All right. Well, let's just share with the folks the story. And I'll tell you this now. One of the reasons I did not do a show on that story when it came out, it is pretty fantastic, as our listeners are about to learn.
Yeah.
But was the name of the operation is Tango Sierra, and that was automatically suspect to me because that's just TS for top secret.
Right. Yeah, and I really don't think that was the operative name for any. It's hard for me to tell exactly what these things were, who is the controlling agency, who has the authority over this stuff, because nobody wants to take the credit. But
his story is that the 7602 Air Intelligence Wing, Section 3, are the controlling agency in this investigation, in this story.
That particular one, yeah. But I don't think that they're the ultimate control group. That's the problem. Nobody seems to want to get to the nub of who really is in charge of these, because that would only be one aspect of many different investigations of alien, you know, covert alien activity on Earth. And especially, see, that the thing that floored me, not only did it are they describing a shape-shifting a person that can, an entity that can shape into a human being, But he was living and working in D.C.
Yeah, working for the government too. Okay, now let's back up and let's just give the audience the story as Victor Martinez gave it to you.
Well, I don't have it in front of me, so I'd just be summarizing. But it's I think it took place back in the 80s. Is when a government employee told one of her coworkers that she'd been abducted by an alien, a human alien, and that person at the office then told their supervisor, and then somehow that triggered an investigation for maybe a security breach or maybe just to see check and see if this government employee was losing her mind or something. And she may have been a security risk. So, according to Victor, this is what happened: was that a high-level security investigation was conducted of the government employee who claimed to have been abducted. They found her to be sane. They debriefed her and got information from her that then they went out and tried to locate this individual who was allegedly a human-looking alien.
And by the way, this is after they had conducted several polygraph examinations with her.
Allegedly, yeah, mm-hmm. Which would make sense. I mean, that's what I think. That's logical.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, they would do that. But again, I think why would they even conduct an investigation like that unless they knew that or believed that the possibility that aliens could be abducting people, including government employees?
Well, you're right. The presumption would be that they had to have at least some level of belief that that was going on,
or direct working knowledge. I mean, that's the other thing. When I look at the data that I've collected, and just in D.C., how could the government agencies not know? I mean, they would have to. They absolutely have to. Maybe not everybody, but the people who have the clearance, the need to know, they obviously know a lot. So anyway, this woman was she was cleared, I guess, and they found her to be a credible, legitimate abductee. They got information from her. They conducted a surveillance of the individual. They captured him, held him for a number of years, examining him and questioning him. And eventually he was released during the Carter administration. And weird the way they described him.
All right, we have to step away for break. We're going to come back to this story right after this break. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Robert Stanley. And Robert, we're talking about this amazing story that you've included in your new book. And you were talking about that these intelligence officers captured this human-looking alien. Actually, this operation lasted about 9 months of surveillance, and then they about 60 intelligence officers, they capture him, and they hold him at, and I probably will mispronounce this, Fort, what is that, Belvoir or Belvoir?
You got me.
Okay.
I really don't know how to pronounce it either.
It's in Virginia. Okay. Now, see, when I read this originally, when Victor sent this out, The name of the operation was suspicious to me. It just seemed Tango Sierra, top secret. Folks, when military or police use the alphabet, they use words. okay? Alpha, Bravo, you know, it's A, B, Foxtrot, F, Tango, T, Sierra, S. Okay, so when they read your license plate, if your license plate is TS-837, it'll be over their radio, they're going to say to their dispatcher, check on Tango Sierra 837. Mm-hmm. So it's just the letters TS, which in the military means top secret.
Right.
So that was suspicious. However, he gives the name of the place where this person, this extraterrestrial, was held, and he nails it down to a particular place with a particular name in Virginia, which actually does exist. So he's held captive there, interrogated by teams of OSI special agents, and then at some point he is released. But what information did he give up? Do you know?
No. It says here that they found he didn't have any special powers, which I thought was interesting. It says here that he was, he first started abducting the female government employee in 1977. And when we say abduct, I mean he didn't... He took her someplace up in a spaceship, showed her holographic visions, versions of his home planet. He introduced her to somebody else, another what she called creature, that did medical exams on her. And this was so obviously this was more than one event that occurred or abduction. But she was always brought back in fairly good shape. But obviously it bothered her, and that's why she mentioned it to somebody, and that's how this particular investigation was, you know, motivated by that. But I'm sure there had to be others. If this is real, there would have to be. I don't think there's just one guy showing. In fact, that's the other crazy thing about that picture Mr. Allen took in March. He takes a picture March 10th, then Victor dumps this crazy story on the internet, and then in August local people in Washington D.C. see two more of the exact same thing that Mr. Allen photographed. So they're around. They're clearly around. And, if they were asked to leave back in the 80s by the Carter administration, they obviously decided that, you know, there's nothing they can do to us. We'll just sort of like the illegal aliens coming across the border. We've got illegal space aliens coming to D.C.,
mm-hmm.
apparently.
Well, if you're going to have them coming across one direction, you may as well have them coming across another.
Well, and that's the other disturbing part. This year was Mr. Allen got a picture of something, a UFO sending out a tube of light over near the White House at like 3:18 in the morning. He not only photographed it, some other local people were out walking their dog. They saw it. They reported what they saw. They couldn't figure out what it was going on. But there's so much activity near the ground and or descriptions of craft landing, that this has been going on for a long time. And I think I'm still just scratching the tip of the iceberg here with this second book of all the activity that's going on in D.C., and that's why I call it Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C., because all of this stuff is clandestine.
All right, well, let's go back to this story from Victor for just a moment.
Go ahead.
Apparently, this alien gave up the home planet. He told where he was from.
Yeah.
He's from the star system Delta Pavonis, which is 19.92 light years from Earth, and he is from the fourth planet from that star. And it took them 18 Earth months to travel from there to here. Now, that's a little bit less than 1 month per light year. That is boot scooting.
Yeah, but I think it's still slower than what some of these other guys apparently are doing. In order to be here this frequently, they either have to have bases here and or nearby, or they are able to transit some kind of like wormhole, Stargate thing that allows them to go great distances in a relatively short time.
Unless And this is a variation on what you said, and you know, unless you know they're already here and have a base here. This guy apparently told the intelligence officers, according to Victor Martinez, that they've been coming here for about 100 of our years.
Right.
And that they're here just exploring. There's no thought of conquest or anything. They're just exploring. Okay, now if they've been coming here for about 100 years, it's possible there are literally thousands of them everywhere. And that, in fact, if they can look like us, if they can make themselves look like us, mm-hmm. we would never know it.
Well, and, you know, Bob Dean had said this about the NATO study that he saw back in the early 60s, that there was at least four different groups that were coming here, and that one of them looked completely human, and they could walk among us or live among us, including the Pentagon and the White House.
All right, now, this particular alien, according to Victor, according to his account here, this particular alien really doesn't look like us, but can shapeshift so that it does look like us, and that in its natural form, it's absolutely hideous and has a bunch of tentacles.
Which, if you look at the picture up on my website that I sent you, yeah, it. I think that's a very, very accurate description. I mean, in fact, when I looked at that picture that Will Allen took in March of 2010 and realized that it was not a bunch of balloons, that it was actually a living entity, it kind of scared me in the sense that I visualized how would I react if I was in D.C. or anywhere, and something like that flew over my head or approached me, I would have a panic attack for sure.
Victor says that this extraterrestrial was being held at that fort, the U.S. Army fort in Virginia, and then orders came directly from President Jimmy Carter to release him.
Right. Kind of reminds me of the fictional NBC event, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It also says here, Victor claims that these creatures could fly and hover in the air, which is clearly exactly what Mr. Allen photographed a few weeks before this report was posted on the internet through Victor.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Mr. Allen doesn't know Victor, okay? So the coincidence there is pretty large. And maybe I'm just trying to make this thing fit, but there seems to be some distinct parallel data points there.
All right. Now, it's truly, without question, this is one of the most fantastic stories. And I'm using the word fantastic in every sense of the word, both positive and negative.
Yeah.
Because if it is true, it's just phenomenal. Absolutely just, you know, blows your socks off. But, even if it's not true, it's a great, great plot for a screenplay.
And unfortunately, I think Victor would like to use it as that. I think that him and Richard Doty are having a good time coming up with it's a spinoff of and he even has it on his website somewhere. It's back in the 60s, there was a sci-fi movie about creatures coming to Earth like that. I forget the name of it. So I think it's already been done, Kevin, is what I'm trying to say.
So do you think this story is true, or do you think it is not true?
You know, when I spoke to Victor briefly about this, he seemed to be extremely genuine. He didn't seem like he was hiding anything or had any agenda that I could see. Here's the bottom line. We cannot validate what he said yet. However, based on my analysis of the 6 years of investigation in Washington, D.C., they're clearly hiding something that is so complicated and so mind-blowing about aliens that we, even though a lot of us think we could handle it, if in fact they are shapeshifters living among us,
mm-hmm.
that could cause real pandemonium amongst a certain aspects of our civilization. The people could literally turn on each other because they wouldn't know who is a true human and who is not.
Yes, and for many, 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 many people, the discovery that anything that they believe is a settled fact, the discovery that it is not a settled fact, really upsets their apple cart for many people. And, you know, the fact is there are very few settled facts in this universe.
No, that's true.
But we like to, we as humans, we like to think we've got it figured out and we know how it is. And when that gets upset, then there are people that, you know, go a little bit squirrely with that. All right, now, I don't want to focus all of our attention on this story. I could not let that pass because it's such a fantastic story.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, but I don't want us to focus just on that because there are verifiable things happening in the skies above Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Verifiable because there's videotape, there's still shots, there are eyewitnesses. And you have I believe it's in your first book, you have a photograph where you published a UFO landing on the Capitol building.
Yes, that was July 16th, 2002. That's how I got started in this investigation, was trying to ascertain whether or not that was a real photograph and whether or not the photographer was telling a genuinely honest account of the event. And that's how I met Mr. Allen, almost six years ago now. So, and you know, the media still doesn't want to cover this story in total. They'll kind of nip at the edges of it, but they're really hesitant to talk about this. I think mainly because we do have pictures. We have a lot of pictures, and accidentally people are getting video. Even the news people have been accidentally broadcasting images of UFOs that they've captured. You know, it's really strange. It's just, the whole thing is bizarre.
Yeah, you've got a radio host by the name of John McCaslin. He's host of America's Morning News, and he captured an image of a UFO over D.C.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
He was just taking a picture. It was in July 19th. He was taking a picture off his balcony.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll come back to that when we get to the other side of this break. Don't go away, folks. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Robert Stanley. And Robert, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence because of the break. But we're talking about people in media who have also seen and photographed these UFOs over Washington, D.C., and yet the news media doesn't want to cover this. What's up with that?
Because I think they get their license from the FCC, so that, you know, the controlling group can certainly put pressure on the media to keep them compliant and not discuss these matters or broadcast, you know, evidence, graphic evidence like movies, videos, photographs, eyewitness accounts.
You know, the FCC today claimed jurisdiction over the internet.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
This is a strange time we live in, really.
But, you know, you expect people who do not believe in the Constitution, you expect them to act as though they do not believe in the Constitution. And they're doing it.
Yeah.
So does that qualify as, you know, where these people in uniform take the oath to protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Does that, like, if you're an enemy of the Constitution domestically, does that, well, never mind.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I've kind of looked at the Oath Keepers, and I'm fascinated by these guys. They're very low-key, and I do believe that the military ultimately would be the final saving grace to preserve the Constitution, if, in fact, it comes down to some sort of revolutionary actions coming out of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and I want to qualify the term revolutionary action. Are you saying in the event of martial law?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that there's always been a plan to overturn the
Posse Comitatus. Well, it was signed away under the last administration.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah,
I've heard that, and that's why I say I don't think that the powers that be don't want us to be free, really, but they would like us to labor under the illusion that we're free, because we're much more productive. You remember in The Matrix?
Oh yeah.
The architect told Neo, he said, you know, you're not the first anomaly. This is not the first Matrix. And there was even one Matrix where we told everybody that they were in a Matrix, and they became totally apathetic. They wouldn't work. So we scrapped it, you know. People are much more productive when they think they're free.
Well, that's true. And shows like this show are kind of a barometer. We'll see how long we last.
Yeah.
But anyway, and you know, I had one person that wrote to me and said that on this issue, because I've been speaking out about it, that I've become quite an activist. But let me just say this. I'm not an activist any more than every person in a democracy should be, because a democracy only works if the population is activists.
Well, technically, it's still a republic.
Yeah, but that's a form of democracy.
Yeah,
and it only works if the population are activists.
Right.
All right, so let's go back to some of these folks who probably didn't intend to be activists in the UFO movement, but shot photographs over D.C. This is continuing. Apparently, it's something that is continuing unabated. That there's a lot of activity over Washington, D.C. Now, there was a report, and I don't remember the date for this report, but it was after 9/11, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden there was a big alert, and everybody headed to the bunkers because there was an unidentified object flying in restricted airspace. Do you know about that?
Yeah, it's happened two or three times, but twice during the Bush administration, because he was there for 8 years, they had to evacuate, took at least one time they took Bush down. I think it was 2005. They took him down to the bunker. Cheney went probably to Mount Weather, and they took people out of the Capitol building and stuff. And they, as usual, the military said they didn't find anything. Oh, in fact, at one time they attributed it to high winds and or birds. I mean, this is really insulting that they would even say these kind of. I mean, these are just idiotic explanations. But I guess it works, you know. I mean, it's just enough to keep people from asking too many questions.
Well, it certainly keeps the press from asking any questions.
I really think, Kevin, at the highest levels of these news agencies, that they are tightly controlled by some group that operates in D.C., a federal group that is definitely controlling the media, and not just UFOs, but specifically the fact that they can be seen hundreds and hundreds of times in the last 60 years and over D.C. I'll go back to what Colonel Stevens told me before he passed away when I interviewed him for the first book. I said, Colonel, where are all the UFO photos and movies taken in 1952 It says here in the public record that there was, thousands of people out there taking hundreds, quote, hundreds of photographs and movies of the UFOs passing over the National Mall. Because there was only that one little photograph. That, and he says, well, they were confiscated. And I said, how do you know that? And he went on to tell me that he knew somebody that actually lived there that had a very large collection of UFO photos, and how, the military was going around canvassing the area, basically confiscating everybody's camera and film. And so that kind of censorship is not something that the media wants to report or is even able to report, I don't think. Because, that when you're talking about things that are a matter of national security and rise above the level of top secret, then all kinds of things kick in. So, well before the Patriot Act existed, there's provisions in the National Security Act that allows for a lot of this clandestine operations to keep the peace when it comes to alien, covert alien activity, especially in D.C.
I'm aware of that. The situation is, though, the government certainly has to understand that there are literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people in the United States who have seen UFOs now.
Right.
And, this old thing about, well, they're not trained observers. What nonsense. I'm not an architect, but I have never, never failed to recognize a building as a building.
Right.
Okay. You don't have to be a trained observer to understand that you saw something in the sky and it's not something you've ever seen before. And it doesn't look like an airplane, doesn't fly like an airplane. So the government certainly has to understand that to continue to come out and tell us we didn't see what we saw makes them more and more and more irrelevant in the perception of the population.
Well, and that's what the internet has been so good at doing, allowing us to share the information like a global village. And I really, based on the charts, the statistical charts that I put together, it's possible that the numbers of UFO sightings have always been the same. It's just that people didn't start reporting it at this level until the internet became available to more and more and more people,
mm-hmm.
where you could present the information even anonymously to the world. Almost instantly, So I think that's something we have to factor in.
Why do you think this situation over Washington, D.C. is important?
Well, the implications are enormous because, I was looking at, I go through my book just about every day trying to get this thing done, but moreover, I'm trying to understand this in a way that I can articulate it to people succinctly, which is this. I believe that the aliens have an agenda, and clearly we're talking about more than one group of individuals or beings that are coming here. They're clearly very intelligent. They have more advanced technology. They appear to have longer lives than ours. But I do think that we would have to classify them as either good or bad as far as their relationship with us. And it appears to me, based on the data, that there are beings in D.C. that are mentally manipulating our leaders, our so-called elected leaders, not just in on Capitol Hill, but the guys that are behind the scenes. We don't know who the lobbyists are. Not really. They don't have to disclose who they really are. And that would be the place. That is the Achilles heel where I believe that the aliens could go in there and easily play us like fiddles if they wanted to. So they don't really have to invade per se. They don't have to do a hostile takeover in order to get what they want.
All right, we'll step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Thank you. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. And my sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that caused you to miss that first hour. Because you really missed absolute universes of information. We're talking with Robert Stanley, and he, of course, is really, I guess, the expert on UFOs over Washington, D.C., and we're talking about the soon-to-be-published second book that he's got. The first book was fantastic. This second book deals with cases of UFOs over Washington, D.C. that are more current than the ones. It sort of picks up where the first book left off and moves us forward in time to the present. Robert, in 2010, you said this is really kind of a banner year. So in 2010, what would you say is the most spectacular, most important UFO incident over Washington, D.C. in 2010?
Okay, it would have to be July 19th, the night of July 19th, which turned into the morning of July 20th. Around a little after 9:30, John McCaslin of America's Morning News took a picture of a UFO over Bowling's Air Force Base. It shouldn't have been there, clearly. Then at around 3 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Allen got a phone call from a friend who lived up in the hills of the Rock Creek Park and said, "There's something in the sky, you need to go out there. Take some pictures." About 3:10, a D.C. couple was out walking their dog. They saw a UFO emitting a tube of light, and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. 3:18, Mr. Allen has already stepped outside, and he's taking pictures of the same thing that these people later reported. And the only other person I've ever seen that talked about a UFO emitting a tube of light, like a lightsaber. This thing it's not a beam where you flip on the switch and the beam goes and it hits whatever. This thing was projecting a tube of plasma or light from itself, and inside the plasma is a smaller object. And this is, very less than a mile away from the White House. And it was early in the morning. There was no response. There's no response at all from the military. That's pretty significant, if you ask me, because clearly the object was beaming something down or possibly picking somebody up. Either way, it's significant.
Okay. So the possibilities are, one, it's alien in origin.
It looks like it.
And the military knows all about this. They're cool with it, so there's no response. Number two.
That would have to be the highest levels, though. I mean, you can't just tell people to stand down. There are multiple. There's an interagency group that's 24/7 that's supposedly watching the prohibited and controlled airspace over Washington, D.C. for any threat.
Okay. The second possibility is that it's alien.
Yes.
They know about it, but for some reason are unable to respond. Maybe their jets can't leave the ground for some reason.
And the other thing is, Kevin, if they sent military jets or helicopters every time there was a UFO over D.C., people would really start to wonder what's going on. You know, that would be another way of really rattling people's cages if you did that.
Okay, the third possibility is it's not alien in origin, it's ours.
Well, if it is ours, I'd like to know who built it.
Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting?
Colonel Corso talked about this in his diary, which is now available on the Internet for the first time. Not the book Day After Roswell, his actual diary. It's very interesting to read, and he actually talks about them having the technology to project a tube of light. I'm not sure what it's for, but it seems to be for transporting things like up and down, here and there, whatever.
Now, does he say it's the aliens that have that technology, or is it us?
Yeah, that's what Corso said many years ago.
Uh-huh.
Now, clearly, we're trying to back engineer that stuff, but I've heard this argument from people that all this stuff over DC has got to be our covert stuff, and I'm like, well, then why do they keep using it over DC? It's such a busy place. Why would you keep doing that, especially in 1952? That makes no sense. Here, I'll give you a better example. Okay, we're talking about this current decade having more sightings than even the 1950s, which it held the record up until recently as having, like, there was over 200 UFO sightings, major UFO, not just sightings. We were sending up our best jets to intercept. Sometimes they couldn't catch them. Sometimes there was at least one occasion where the jets disappeared off radar and were never seen again, ever. No trace whatsoever.
Now, and that was year?
No, that was 1952. It was July.
Okay.
I believe it was July 26th. And I've seen that, too. I've got two different sources for that particular event, where we lost at least one, maybe two jets. Two of our best jets went to intercept, and they were either disintegrated or they were beamed up, and the pilots and the jets were never found. And that's another reason why the military would not want to tell people what's going on. It's also another reason why they may have felt a need to go and confiscate all the film, because for all we know, that could have been caught on film. It was certainly caught on radar. The tapes that they were making of the radar at the time. But anyway, let's go forward again.
All right.
The National Mall for January 1st of 2000, what they called the Millennium Celebration.
Uh-huh.
It was a huge deal. There was over 1 million people at the mall. President Clinton spoke there. You know, there was a big, big to-do. They had all kinds of fireworks, et cetera. There was one person who reported that they saw large cylindrical UFOs passing over after the event when people were leaving around 1 o'clock in the morning, 1 a.m. There was still a ton of people there on the mall. The UFOs started to show up. Now, that individual posted the information, and then a couple years later, a second witness came forward, and what the second witness had to say about the event or a series of events that happened at January 1st, 2000, are almost beyond belief to me, except that this sort of thing has been seen before. Mass close encounters have occurred on the mall, and the media will not report it. I'm sure there had to be some people there with cameras. I've never seen one picture from the event.
All right, let me play the devil's advocate for just a moment.
Go ahead.
In a situation like that, first of all, you go to Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and anywhere you go around any of the main government buildings, every single day there are reporters from around the world there doing stories about various things.
Right.
And they're not just from here. They're from all over the world. So when these mass sightings happen, we, I think, can safely assume that within the crowd, there have to be some of these international reporters that are visitors here in the United States that see these mass sightings. Why aren't they reporting them?
Again, I can only assume it's a control group. I'll give you another example. In 1999, and I got this from a retired U.S. Capitol employee, he told me that he was standing there giving a tour at the Capitol during the daytime around 11 o'clock. There was two Capitol police officers with him and a group of tourists. One of them had a video camera when a UFO came up over the Capitol, and it was flashing a beam of light down on the Capitol. It was there for at least 20 minutes. Now, that video was never released because I assumed that it was confiscated by somebody within the controlling group. I know for a fact that the Capitol police officer reported to his superiors. They passed it up the line to probably the NSA. And there's, you know, the information is acted upon because it is considered a clear and present danger to have anything unidentified coming into that airspace. So they do act on it. They just don't tell the public that they're doing this. They don't want to.
Yeah, I understand that, but I would not think, for instance, that if there's a, let's say we have a reporter there from China TV, we've got a reporter that's out there in the crowd, and this reporter's from Brazil. We got another one from Japan, and so forth. They're just out there in the crowd. Something's going on that they're covering, and then there's this mass sighting. I wouldn't think that the U.S. government would have any control whatsoever over those reporters.
No, they don't. But what they do is they contact the intelligence group for the country where that individual comes from. And they have them intervene. That's my understanding. I mean, look, that's how American citizens are spied on legally through the echelon.
Mm-hmm.
They say, look, we can't spy on our citizens, England. Would you please do it for us, and we'll do the same for you.
Yeah.
There's a quid pro quo there. I mean, look, I'm not paranoid. I don't have anything to hide. I just know how this thing has been working over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And they do want to keep this secret, and can they? Yes, apparently they've been very successful. Somebody has been very successful at keeping a lid on it. I'm thinking now, listen, in 1952, all that movie footage was confiscated, and the only reason we got to see even one picture is because a news photographer took a series of pictures of the fleet of UFOs passing over the Capitol building. He went back to the office. He made a copy of one of those pictures and gave it to this guy, Augie Roberts. And that's how come in the 60s when Augie first published that, people go, oh, that's fake, you know, that's fake. Well, no, it wasn't. The original was confiscated by the military. That's how Augie knew that something was up, because his friend who was a press photographer said the military came and confiscated his film. And so, you know, it wasn't just civilians. It was people in the media have also felt that this censorship. Now, in 2005, when I started the investigation and I first published those pictures of that Mr. Allen took at the Capitol building, later that year, in October of 2005, Channel 4 in England released a documentary with Nick Cook called The UFO Secret Evidence. In there is 17 seconds of historic film from the National Mall. It was taken the same night that other still picture was taken, in the same location on the National Mall, looking at the Capitol with that same fleet of UFOs passing behind the Capitol Dome.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now when that came out, people said, no, that's fake. That's fake, too. That has to be computer generated. Well, it's not, but that's what they said. Now, and I have not been able to determine where they got a copy of that footage, because somewhere somebody has it, and they won't release it officially. They leaked it. They leaked it. Now, 10 years earlier, Walt Disney was the recipient of a little short clip of something that was obviously much longer, which it took me years to find, and now it's out there. I've got it on the internet, posted copies everywhere. But it's another event from 1952, allegedly, at the Capitol, where the UFOs are darting around like insects in the sky. Disney, when I contacted Walt Disney Legal Department, they said, we don't know, we can't give you permission because we don't know who this belongs to. They don't even know where it came from, Kevin. But clearly somebody in the control group made sure that they got access to it, and they broadcast it on television to only select cities in 1995.
And that was a documentary that they did.
Yes.
About UFOs and extraterrestrials. It's excellent. And it's not under copyright any longer. It's in the public domain.
Right.
And
right,
so...
But even, look, Don Ecker was one of the key people that put that thing together. When I asked him about it, he said he didn't even know where that footage came from. All he could confirm to me was that it wasn't generated in a laboratory. You know, it's not a computer-generated hoax.
Uh-huh. So, well, I believe it was either Life magazine or Look magazine ran that photograph of the UFOs over the Capitol building, and did a story about that, and that would have been in, I guess, the mid to late 1960s.
Right, and that was, again, that was Augie Robert. Augie Roberts got a copy. That was a copy that he got from a press photographer. He didn't take the picture.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But you know, other people have reported seeing photographs of UFOs over the Capitol in the newspaper, and those things are gone. Those are not found in the archives anywhere. They're gone. Who took them?
Well, there's also a whole bunch of sites, websites, that have to do with UFOs and have to do with anomalies on the moon and on Mars. A whole bunch of them that used to be out there that are gone now. And there's still some out there, but there's a bunch of them that they're just gone. And I'll tell you, when this is a recent story and it happened to me, whenever the Cassini spacecraft deployed the Huygens probe to fly down and land on Titan, as the parachute opened and as it's descending down to Titan, it's snapping pictures like crazy, and it's sending them back. And there was a website that was affiliated with that program that was publishing those as they were coming down. I downloaded those, and I have them, and that website's gone. And, there's some pretty amazing stuff on Titan. But, somebody out there is vacuuming up the information. And, of course, we saw today the first step in establishing a beachhead to control the information.
Yeah.
Now, further. Right. I want to open up the telephone lines and invite our audience to join us. Folks, the telephone lines are open. If you have a question or a comment for Robert Stanley, quite obviously, this is a man who knows a great deal about the UFO phenomena over Washington, D.C., and its current information. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Now, that number will work from anywhere in the world. All right, it doesn't matter where you are on this planet. If you want to call me, you can call me at 623-444-5889. I have a toll-free number for the USA and Canada. It is 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for out there, but what I do have on my website is a flash message option. So you just go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show. To the right of that, you'll see the link that says flash message. Okay, Robert, obviously, just from what we've talked about here this evening, it's quite obvious that, number one, there's a great deal of UFO activity over Washington, D.C. Number two, it's impossible that people in authority don't know about it. That's an impossibility. If all of this mass of sightings is happening, and mass sightings happening, then people in charge know about it. Mm-hmm. And it's also obvious that the presidents know a great deal more than they let on, and a great deal more than their public statements would indicate. Yeah. Jimmy Carter said, I'm going to make sure the UFO information gets out.
Right.
He did make sure that under his administration, there was a great deal of freedom of information documents that got out.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, redacted.
Yep.
But from what we've talked about here tonight, he had intimate knowledge of the situation because he ordered the release, if this information is true. He ordered the release of this shape-shifting extraterrestrial from Fort Belvoir in Virginia.
Right. And I think at this point I got to say that the aliens have some culpability in all this. If they really wanted to just step out onto the mall and have a press conference, they could do it. They could clearly do it. But they're not.
Okay, so why?
I don't know. I'd love to know that answer to that, Kevin. I do know that they're nearby and that some of them are benevolent and that they are willing to... Okay, how do I say this? Are you near your email?
Well, I can't do that while I'm on the air.
Oh, darn. I sent you a picture, some pictures that I took of UFOs over my home here in Rhode Island where I'm living right now. And in February 2009, I sent out a mental message to the heavens that I at night, I looked up at the stars and I said, you know, you guys, I'm getting tired of carrying all this water by myself. Could you please give me a hand? I was just frustrated. I'd done a show, and I just felt like I wasn't getting the message out there. I was just blowing off steam. The next morning, a UFO showed up over the house. I ran inside, and I grabbed my camera, a fairly decent Nikon camera, and I took some pictures with a telephoto lens of it. This year, in July 23rd at 4:22 in the morning, I was taking pictures of Jupiter when the same UFO showed up. Only for a few seconds, just long enough for me to capture it on the one frame. It's the same UFO, and what it indicates to me, Kevin, is that not only do they hear our thoughts, they're monitoring us. And I do believe, from my experience, that some of them are benevolent, that we're related to them. Others are malevolent, and do not have our best interests at heart.
What leads you to think that there are some that are malevolent?
The conclusion of my book has a very long series of data points that will allow anybody to come to this conclusion that the military knows that there are hostile aliens involved not only in abductions but mutilations of humans, and that... They probably are manipulating us behind the scenes, what religiously would might be called possession, which might require exorcism, which I don't think is very effective, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is documented. That's where the movie The Exorcist really comes from, a true story in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
A boy was possessed, and it's not something that only happened in the 40s. I have at least three different other examples of recent... cases of people becoming completely unhinged or manipulated. So I think the evidence is there. Nobody really wants to look at it because it's kind of disturbing. But we need to address the fact that they're not all good and they're not all bad. They're here, but it's very complicated, you know. Look, nobody would go into a hostile setting like D.C. hundreds and hundreds of times unless they had an agenda. You just don't do it. So clearly their agenda is being served covertly.
All right, we're going to have to step away for a break. When we come back, I know you've said that there are aspects of this that you don't know about, but I'm going to ask you to speculate on something that you said earlier, where you said it's possible they may be doing mental manipulation behind the scenes and affecting everything around us. We'll be back right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Robert Stanley. And Robert, I know I said I was going to bring that question up, and I will, but we have a caller on hold. So let's go to the telephone. And caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Leslie in Oregon.
Hello, Leslie.
Yeah, hi. I heard Mr. Stanley, and when he had mentioned that he kind of, I think you said, got frustrated, and he kind of sent a message out there to the universe. Well, I've got to admit, I've been a bit frustrated as well. And I had written like a little, I don't know if it's an article, and I put it on the member area, regards, you know, about all the different excuses, as I call it, as to why the aliens don't just show up. And kind of like what Mr. Stanley said, you know, just hold a press conference out there. And just long story short is, you know, I'm frustrated too. And I think a whole bunch of us are. And I can't figure out either why they don't, at least the nice ones, don't just come on out and say, hey, here we are. Because it sure would, I don't know, solve a lot of, or answer a lot of questions. And just to let you know that you're not the only one frustrated.
Well, thank you, Leslie.
Uh-huh. Leslie, thanks for the call. Did you put that in your blog?
You.
Leslie? She didn't hear me. Okay.
Kevin, I got to answer that just briefly.
Okay.
Our friend, our mutual friend, Jerry Wills, told me that the bad guys are here,
mm-hmm.
and that they are very good at mental manipulation,
mm-hmm.
and that, in fact, that they are the ones that are keeping the bad guy. The bad guys are in charge here, and they're keeping the good guys out. That's why the good guys had to sneak in here covertly to try and help us to deal with the bad guys that are already here. And this didn't start in the 40s. This has been going on for a long time. Our ancestors call these beings fallen angels, demons, what have you.
Okay. Now, again, the subject of mental manipulation came up.
Yep.
I have a flash message from Rob in India. And he wants to know, in all these years that you've been dealing with this, have you ever been aware of being manipulated mentally by some force outside yourself?
Absolutely.
Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, it happened more than once. I've had more than a dozen close encounters in my lifetime. But typically, that there's some sort of mental communication that goes, telepathic communication that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. I'm coming down off of the mountain on my motorcycle one night, where I used to live in Malibu, and I could feel that I was being watched. I mean, you know, if you're walking around, sometimes you can just feel when somebody's looking at you, the back of your neck kind of prickles.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up, and as I was riding my motorcycle, I looked up to this region of the sky, the top of the mountain, and I said to them mentally, I mean, I wasn't sure, okay, I was just kind of experimenting. I said, look, I know you're there. Why don't you just show yourselves? I mean, it's not like I can do anything to you. And as soon as I had that thought, the light came on. They were clearly there. The light had been off. It was at night. I couldn't see them until they turned the light on. I could just feel them. Maybe I could even feel their thoughts, but I could feel them. And when I sent that message to them, they immediately turned the light on. I almost wrecked my bike, Kevin, because I couldn't believe. I mean, I could believe it, but I was in a state of shock. Suddenly, I stopped looking at the road. I was looking at them. And after a few seconds, the light shut off, and I went back to looking at the road. But I was shook up because I had clearly got an answer. That was a little demonstration that, yeah, we are watching you. And, yes, we do hear your thoughts. And, yeah, you can hear our thoughts, too.
Okay, give us
that
an example.
That was back in the 80s, by the way. And now we're, you know, 20-something years ahead. This is just part of the greater reality.
Give us an example of them manipulating your thoughts.
When I first started getting involved in this, some of the information that I was given was very disturbing. And I was laying in bed one day. I was very ill. I had like the flu or something. And I remember I was thinking about the fact that certain people apparently are androids. Okay, now I know that sounds crazy, but apparently that's what this person was claiming. And my one thought was, I don't feel sorry for, I don't feel sorry for looking into trying to find out the truth about whatever's going on in this world, because I know something's not right. As I'm having that thought, the phone rings, I pick it up, and there's a mechanical noise in the background that I could not distinguish. It was very strange, and there was a voice of someone speaking in a language I've never heard before. And you got to understand, I've traveled to more than 50 countries. I've heard quite a few languages from the planet Earth. But what I was hearing coming over the phone was something I've never heard before. And the only thing that I could think of to say to those, that whoever was on the line, was, I'm sorry. Now, that's contrary. I was just thinking I shouldn't feel sorry for what I'm doing, and then the phone rings, and suddenly I'm saying to them, I'm sorry. And I felt, God, I felt devastated. And I couldn't, there was no logical explanation for it, Kevin. I was just having, some people call it psychic attack. And I felt it. I felt it big time.
Here on this show tonight, you have said that you think it's possible that they are manipulating some of our high officials, people that have been elected to high office.
Yep.
Do you go into that in your book?
I do. I don't name names. I just give examples of a position in D.C. I also give clear examples of what the military knows about the threat of the hostile aliens. They clearly know about it and have known for a long time, because servicemen have been mutilated. I mean, just like the cows, okay? These guys, unfortunately, sad to say, it doesn't only happen to military people, but it's happened to a lot of military people. The government's known about it, and for a long time. It's another reason why they cannot discuss this with the public without some segment of the population freaking out.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming. I've got a few things for you tonight.
All right, Brent.
Robert, I took a look at some of those pictures of the ones that were the shapeshifters that were flying, floating over the Capitol. Those are real ugly.
It was Georgetown.
And, yeah. Now, I'm wondering, have you ever heard of Jeff Woolline's work in Phoenix?
I'm sorry, I haven't, no.
And if you get a chance, I think it's petroglyphsinthesky.com, if he's still there.
Okay.
Now, Kevin, I'm going to tell you a story. This goes along with the mental manipulation. This was back in the 70s. I was working on a ranch over on the other side of the state. And I heard something coming down the canyon. I don't know what it was, but I was going to look out the window, and the next thing I knew, I was sitting down. I have no reason, no idea why I sat down, but I just didn't look out the window.
Do you think that you made the choice to sit down on your own, or do you think someone else decided for you to sit down?
I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to look out the window, but the next thing I know, I'm sitting down, and I have no reason why.
Hmm.
So, that's all I have tonight.
Brent, thank you for the call.
Yep.
Bye.
Do you think, Robert, that... let's assume that you're correct, and that some of these extraterrestrials are manipulating some of our high officials. Do you think that those high officials are aware that they're being manipulated?
That's pure speculation, but I'd have to say no. Because it works. It's a lot more effective if the individual doesn't know they're being manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
If they think it's their own voice in their head telling them, you know, making suggestions on how to proceed. I know it sounds completely far out, but it may explain why there is so much deafness in Washington D.C. to the public, what the public really wants.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're ruling counter to what the, I mean, they do almost everything they're doing, especially now, is running counter to what the general public wants. And it's obviously unconstitutional. It's inhuman in many regards. And, I mean, there's got to be a connection there, in my mind.
Well, you know, there may be. And then again, it could be that these are just narcissistic, power-hungry enemies of the Constitution. That's right, a possibility as well, isn't
really,
it?
In history, Kevin, there's always been a covert relationship between powerful entities that are usually unseen that manipulate those who are egotistical, who are power-hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we call it Satan, we call it fallen angels, we call them demons. I say, in the modern day, we'd have to call them aliens or extraterrestrials.
Okay.
Maybe extra-dimensional, whatever you want to call. I think we just need to modernize our vernacular a little bit, bring it up to the current 21st century,
mm-hmm.
and address this problem. And I don't mean with, like, you know, mumbo-jumbo and ritual. I mean, we need to bring it out in the light of day. And I'm sure this is one of the reasons why this is all remaining in the closet. Because if it ever gets a good airing, people are going to ask very logical questions. And the answers that they get are going to be very disturbing. And there will be, and I believe, knowing that the human spirit the way I do, is we prefer to be free.
And well, yeah.
We find out that we've been covertly ruled by someone, that we're allegedly somebody's property, or the subjects of some galactic empire, we will rebel. And that it's so much easier to keep us ignorant and under control under the current regime or this, you know, this circumstances as they are. It doesn't favor us. Really doesn't favor us at all.
Well, you bring up some issues I want to ask you about in just a moment. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
And, you know, there's an old saying, which everybody knows, that water gravitates to its own level.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of the container it's in or the forces, you know, that are put against it. And all we have to do is look at the news from day to day for examples of people saying, well, I heard this voice in my head and it told me to kill so-and-so, or I did this or I did that. But, you know, it seems that the people that have these problems most of all, to me personally now, are people who are not centered. They're either leaning one way or the other, you know, and so when they're not centered, then they're influenced more and more by these forces. As long as they're centered within themselves, it seems like they have more of the ability to resist this.
Mike, you're not suggesting, though, that all cases where people are hearing voices are extraterrestrial or spiritual or whatever. I mean, aren't there some clinical situations that cause that? I'll have to get your answer to that on the other side of this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Robert Stanley, and on the line with us is Mike from Kentucky. Mike, I had just asked, aren't there some situations where people hear voices in their heads and it's truly just a medical situation?
Sure. There's always a clinical part. Lifestyles have a lot to do with that, too, as you know, medications and so forth and so forth. But if you look back, even in ancient times, the instruction was, man, know thyself. And if you know the true self, then you're less likely to be able to be swayed one way or the other, because the true self is greater than anything else that that exists around you.
All right. Yeah. What do you say about that, Robert?
I agree with that. I absolutely agree that we are far more than just physical beings. We are all tied into a collective, the zero-point field. And that they've proven that consciousness doesn't dwell in the brain. The brain is just a transceiver point for consciousness.
All right. Mike, I want to thank you for the call. Very interesting. And I think it is important. This is one of the reasons, Robert, that I have, over the years, made many statements about not allowing how you feel to run your life. Then I get letters and emails from people telling me that emotions are important. Well, I know they are. I didn't say they weren't. You know, my little six-year-old son is important. That's why I don't let him drive the car, you see. Our minds have got to be in control, not our feelings. And the reason is because it's so easy to move our feelings from one end of the spectrum to the other and to do it very quickly.
Right.
And I think this is what Mike was referring to when he was saying we've got to be centered.
Well, and the center is always found between two extremes, Kevin.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, look, there are many times when my feelings, because of things that have gone on during the day, are not conducive to sitting at this mic and doing the show. And I still do the show, and hopefully those feelings don't show and don't enter into it because they're not driving. I'm not sure, but I think if I were to hear voices in my head telling me to do this or do that, I'm not real sure they would be very effective, because I do tend to turn the feeling volume down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wouldn't have to work on everybody as long as they were able to do it. If the bad guys are applying that technology or technique to our leaders, then it would trickle down to pretty much everybody and everything here on the planet.
So what's the solution for that?
Wow. There's the million-dollar question. I do believe that we have a much greater potential, and it has nothing to do with our biology. It has something to do with what religion calls spirituality, and that is a higher frequency. It's a higher state of consciousness that is beyond this physical plane. And that that is where we really need to look for the answers. That's where we need to draw our information as well as strength from.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that knowledge should become, if applied correctly, will become wisdom. And that's where the answers are going to come. As I don't have all the answers. I've had the courage to ask the right questions about what's going on in D.C. for the past 6 years. And I've made some conclusions, but they're not immutable. I'm open to whatever new information comes my way.
Okay, speaking of information coming our way, I have a flash message that's come in. Also, another one from India. This one from, I guess it's pronounced Dez, D-E-Z. From India. Dez wants to know, do you think that all or most of the world's leaders are being manipulated in the same way?
The answer to that would be yes. Historically, that seems to be the case. If you look, especially for people in India, you look at your ancient history and the gods that lived among us, who do you think those people were or are? Did they influence the affairs of man? Yes, absolutely. Did they bother themselves with the common man? No, they didn't need to. They would usually, you know, have the ear of the king. They would tell the king, you know, this is what you should do. This is how you should do what you should do. You know, here's the other thing. Since we're talking to people in India, I was raised with Vedic yoga. So I understand about transcendental meditation and reaching those higher states of city, where you know you're no longer just a physical being. You move beyond that into a greater reality. And there's more information out there than in all the libraries here on this earth. And there is a tremendous amount of life out there too. I mean, they're not all human, but they're all intelligent, and we're all related. See, that's the big. I guess that's part of the answer, Kevin, is to understand that even the bad guys are related to us, and that we need to address the fact that they're here, and find a way to. I think what's going to happen is the public. There eventually will be grassroots pressure put on our leaders to come clean. Because people are just, at some point, when they've been pushed so far out of their comfort zone, like what's going on now, people are being pushed so hard against the wall, they're going to start asking questions, really hard questions, about this world and about our role here.
So do you foresee a time when there actually will be someone from our government that will step to the microphone and actually tell the truth about this topic?
They will give us a version of the truth. Mm-hmm. Their version. I have known for years that the government is not going to discuss this on the record until it suits their agenda, and in a way that they feel that comfortable. And I am absolutely positive that they will not tell us the whole truth. In fact, the first press conference with an alien, I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of disinformation surrounding that event. In other words, we're not going to get the whole picture overnight. That's something that we have to work at. But, you know, they have done a masterful job of psychological warfare on the general public and manipulated us into generally believing that there's nothing going on. Don't worry, just remain asleep, mentally asleep. You don't need to be concerned about anything that's about aliens. They don't exist. They're not here. They're not hostile. Don't worry about it. All of that is untrue.
But you do think there's coming a time when someone is going to step to the microphone,
yes,
and start telling us about extraterrestrials and UFOs?
There was a guy, a representative from Vermont, I think it was. He came forward this year and actually did a press conference and said that when he worked for the Eisenhower administration, he actually saw the paperwork that Eisenhower did meet with extraterrestrials. This guy's old. I mean, he has no reason to come forward at this point in his life other than the fact that he just wanted to unburden his conscience. There's many people like that in our government that would like to come forward, but they have, they will get punished. There are repercussions for going against the system.
Well, yes, there are. And, there are more of those repercussions on the menu every day. It's not getting smaller. Robert, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for being with us. And if you will stay on the phone with me for just a few moments here as I close the show. Folks, go over to Robert's website. It is unicusmagazine.com. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.